Welcome. I'd like to acknowledge the continuing sovereignty of all First Nations peoples right across the country. I'd also like to acknowledge elders, elders of the First Peoples of the land, and elders of more recent arrivals. Welcome to each and every one of you. And welcome to all our listeners, tuned in across the country by the National Indigenous Radio Service, and across the world by the World Wide Web. Welcome to you. It's great to have your company. I'm talking to Tanya Hosh, CEO with Recognise, the Big R mob trying to sell the constitutional recognition. Tanya, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm well, thanks, Tiger. Thanks for having me.
No worries, no worries. It's good to have you on air and to get you to tell us a little about Recognise and your role with Recognise and what your hopes and aspirations are with it. But first up, tell us, who's your mob? Where's your country?
Well, I've got a not a very straightforward story. So I was conceived in Melbourne and born in Adelaide to a Welsh mother and Torres Strait Islander father. And then when I was 3 weeks old, I was adopted into a family with an Aboriginal father, a Darug man from New South Wales, and a white mother. And I haven't actually tracked down my birth father.
All right.
Just yet. Mm. Yes.
All right.
Mm.
That's an interesting
one. I spent most of my life in Adelaide, yeah.
Oh, you spent most of your life in Adelaide, have you, yeah?
Yes, I have, yeah.
A nice big nice big country town.
It is.
Compared to Sydney and Melbourne. I mean, I was in Sydney yesterday for the day, fly in, fly out for a meeting. Oh, dear. Don't know why I do it, but no, I can never wait to get out, you know. Yeah, can never wait to get out. I don't know how you can spend the time on planes and going in and out of these cities and living, being based in places like that. And I don't know. Anyway, that's my hang-up. Mark Yerica Paulson, how are you?
I'm good, Mark. How are you?
I'm very well. Tell us your mob, your country.
Yeah, so my mum's from Cherbourg. She's a Kirk from Cherbourg. And so I'm connected to the Fishers and the Kirks and the Buttons up there and Billy Gubber and some connection to Waka Waka through the Buttons, but that's my family on my mum's side. On my dad's side, he's from Tweedheads. He's a Paulson from Tweedheads, so the Paulsons and Currys as far south as Taree, but as north as Rocky. And the Paulsons and Currys is on my dad's side.
Tanya, tell us first up in Recognise. What is, oh, was that, when I was at the airport yesterday in Sydney, I saw the Big R on the plane. And I wondered, for those that, and I think there's probably still a hell of a lot of people in this country that don't know what the R is, what it stands for and stuff. There's, I don't know, like, that doesn't, it doesn't work for me. If I didn't know what it was, I wouldn't be none the wiser. I see this R on the plane, and there's a few words beside it. I don't know what they are. You may well know them. You've probably been on enough planes with an R on it. I don't know. You probably only fly with the R, eh? But anyway, I question the marketability. Pardon?
I have my own private fleet of R planes. I don't think I've been on any of the planes that have an R yet.
You haven't, eh? All right, then. All right.
No.
But no, I just question the marketability of that message and the symbol up there on the side of the plane. And I couldn't sort of see anything like that. Doesn't say any more than that. But anyway, it's all about marketing and getting the message out there. But tell us about Recognise. What's it? How's it set up? What's its role?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the job of Recognise is to make sure that most Australians do know what the R's about when they see it. And you're right, Tiger, there's still a great many Australians who haven't heard about this conversation, haven't seen the logo. But the logo is just a representation of a movement of Australians that's growing every day that wants to see some constitutional change. We haven't had any in Australia since 1977. And the constitutional change that's being sought is to address the racial discriminatory elements that still exist in our constitution, and to also do something about recognising the First Peoples of this country. Our constitution currently doesn't treat us all equally, and our constitution which represents the legal architecture of the country, so it's a reasonably important document, recognises things like lighthouses, talks about coinage and all sorts of things, and fails to mention anything about the impressive and substantial first chapter of this country, which obviously does connect directly to the First Peoples of the land. So recognises job is to try and make sure that all Australians know about this, so that as we approach a referendum where people will get to vote on whether they want to support these changes in our constitution or not, to make sure that people know about it and hopefully support it.
Now, what's the feeling so far? How long has Recognise been in place? What's the feeling?
Well, we've been in place for just over 2 years. I think it was 2 years in July. We're part of Reconciliation Australia. So the expert panel did their consultations in 2011 and produced a report with recommendations in 2012, recommended that there be a community awareness raising and support building program to help all Australians understand what this is about. So we've been in place just over 2 years. At the moment, I think we have over 225,000 Australians who have started engaging with the recognised movement as supporters. So our job is really to try and do what it is that you're talking about, Tiger, in terms of, you knowing that people see the R, know what it stands for, and really help this country start to have some of these conversations that we haven't had to this extent for a very long time, probably since the 67 referendum, and most people know that that campaign started 10 years ahead of that. So it's been quite a long time before we've had a national conversation of this nature.
Hmm. There's been talk among our mob, First Nations peoples, for a long, long time about needing, a complaint, a criticism, that we aren't even recognised in our constitution. Or in the Constitution. I don't want to say our Constitution because I don't believe I'm not Australian. I'm a First Nations man. I'm a Wirri man of the Birriggubba Nation. I'm a Kungaloo man, so it's not my Constitution. So, but there has been criticism over the years that First Nations people are not recognised, and now there's an opportunity for that. With after 2 years' work by yourself and Recognise, how do you feel looking back at it and looking forward? Because this is to culminate in, or the end result, the target set by the Prime Minister is a referendum to where the Australian voters can decide. How do you feel reflecting back on it and looking forward? I mean, you guys have got a big job and have been doing it for 2 years. How do you feel about it?
Look, it is a big job. There's no question about it. I have to say, overall, I feel incredibly positive about it. I'm frequently surprised at just how much goodwill I encounter, both from blackfellas and other Australians about this. I think that one of the things that stands out the most is that most people don't think about the Constitution very much. They're surprised to learn that there's still elements in the document that allow for racial discrimination to exist in this day and age. And people usually are quite keen to know a bit more about it because, for a lot of people, there's no requirement on them to think about it on a daily basis. But of course, as you pointed out in your introduction, there are people who feel strongly that this is not something that they are interested in pursuing, that they want to have conversations about other very long-held aspirations amongst Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people for sovereignty or treaty or both of those things. So you definitely do encounter that, but then you also encounter people who are very negative about the campaign for different reasons, and those reasons exist around the conversations that I think a lot of us are familiar with that rear their heads in, debates around native title and even the apology that was offered to the stolen generation, which was, we shouldn't be, treating Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people as special, that it's going to cause further separation between us as Australians if we are to acknowledge Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. And so you still do encounter some racist views out in the community, and then you hear some, you know, some very strident views from some Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who really want to have a very different conversation at this point in Australia's history.
Mark, with your work that you have done and will continue to do as an ambassador for Recognise, a referendum, is any indication of when a referendum might be? I mean, it's not all that long ago, it might have been 2 months, I think, that the Prime Minister stated that he thinks maybe it'd be best that a referendum be held in the next term of government, after the elections, basically, rather than muddy the waters of leading into an election. That's one question. What's the indication of when a referendum will be? The second question is, well, answer that one first, and I'll think of that question. The second one that slipped my mind.
Yeah, sure. The you're right, Tiger. The Prime Minister had, you know, he had made some indication that he likes the idea of the 2017, but the fact is there's been no official announcement on the timing. And I think from a campaign perspective, and you know, Tanya will correct me if I'm wrong, but from a campaign perspective, you know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done in the lead up to the actual vote on the referendum. But the, you know, the two things that still need to be put in place is the proposal that they're putting forward of the model, and the selection of the date, and those things aren't yet set. But, you know, either way, what we don't want to do is we don't want to have an elongated process where people become fatigued, people start to lose interest. But by the same, and then on the flip side of that, we don't want something too quick that doesn't give us enough time to get the conversation out there into community.
The other question was, that slipped my mind then, was, preamble or body of the Constitution? Again, the Prime Minister said at about the same time when he was talking about muddying the election campaign waters and stuff with a referendum, he stated that he was only really interested in he was only really looking at amending the preamble. Now, we've got states like Queensland, maybe New South Wales and Victoria, or maybe only one of those two states, but there's a few states already in this country that have amended the preamble to their constitution a long time ago, some years ago, like not all that long ago, really, in the last 10 years or so, maybe five. I think it was Anna Bligh that did it up here. So amending the preamble of the constitution hasn't done all that much or anything, I don't think, for Queenslanders. I can only speak for Queensland. What's the Prime Minister's intent, preamble or body of the Constitution? What's your feeling? What do you know?
Well, first of all, the amendments that were made for the state constitutions, you are correct that they were there for them to have no legal effect. They were purely symbolic, and they were meant to be in that way to show the goodwill within the state governments. But the referendum for that that we're looking at for through the Recognise campaign is within the body of the Constitution itself. It's not the trimming around the edge. It's within the body of the text, and it will have implications on the way that the way that we understand the relationship between the federal government and us as people.
All right. Tanya, what are some of the most commonly asked questions over the last 2 years? Because you're still doing the rounds, talking to people. You're in Brisbane soon. You can tell us when you're in Brisbane, end of the week or something. But you can tell us the dates and venue and dates and place, time. But what are some of the most frequently asked questions that you've encountered?
There's a long list. When is it going to be? What difference will it make? What's the tangible difference it's going to make in people's lives? The other questions are, you know, how does it actually work? how many people have to support it, what happens if we don't get there, what happens if it fails. People ask questions about how they engage in the conversation. We ask questions about how we're going to ensure that people right across this country come to understand what this is really about. People also ask questions about the politics, because while something like this has to be very strongly driven from the ground up, it's really got to be a unifying moment amongst Australians to do this together. People are very interested in what the engagement is with the political leaders in the country. And when I say that, I don't just mean in Canberra, I mean across all the states and territories, and also amongst Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander leaders who I think spend a great deal of their time in politics as well. So how are we going to bring all of these different forces together? How are we going to help make sure that not only do we have a successful result that really honours the legacy of those amazing campaigners from 1967, but helps move the country forward? And I think a lot of people, when they look at the opportunities that exist through doing this work and having these conversations, become quite enthusiastic. But what Mark said is quite right. You can't drag something like this out forever. So we're hopeful that in the not too distant future that there is an announcement about an intended date. But certainly what we know about the history of referenda in Australia is that more fail than succeed, and there's a number of important preconditions that have to be in place before we could pursue a vote.
Hmm. I wouldn't like to be in your shoes, I tell you, Tanya. You should be paid double. It's a big job. It's a big job. And you would acknowledge that yourself. It's a hell of a big job because the pressure's on. You don't hold a referendum if you haven't got it sold before you hold it, sort of thing. You know, it's virtually got to be sold.
It does.
Now, is there any room? Go on, yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, I'm not in this on my own. I'm a joint campaign director with Tim Gartrell. And, you know, we've got an amazing team of Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander and, you know, non-Indigenous staff. And, you know, we're working really hard at working on this together. So we're all learning everything about all the different elements of the campaigning in and of itself. And one of the things I'm very confident about is that when this is over, wherever it lands, we're going to have a new generation of, I think, very finely trained Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander campaigners who know about the mechanics of big national campaigns. And I think that's going to be something that we can do something with later. Sorry, what were you going to ask me?
Well, leading on from that comment of mine today, and you got a hell of a job on your hands. You've got a big job. It's not made any easier by Abbott making stupid comments like, and recently during the G20, oh, this was all only Bush out here, this country, you know, when the convicts first arrived. That is perpetuating that lie of terra nullius. Prior to that, he's made a comment recently. The most defining moment for this country was the invasion, when the British came. Prior to that, or around the same time, he made another comment about investment. And I can't recall for the life of me the context of that. But again, it was a real put down. But the most recent one to perpetuate this lie of terra nullius, I mean, the boss ain't making things easy for you.
Yeah, you're right. That doesn't make our job any easier. You're absolutely right about that. Obviously, I can't speak to what the Prime Minister was thinking when he made those comments, but I think, you know, there's no point in trying to pretend that comments like that are helpful or reflective of the understanding that we want Australians to have about the history of this country. And I hope if you know, we run this process properly, at the end of this, the vast majority, and not just 51%, but, you know, in the 90s, you know, probably 95% of Australians will very firmly have had that misunderstanding and that lack of truth corrected. in this process. And I think that's very important. I think it's also important to point out that while our political leadership is critical to helping us have a successful referendum, and there's no question about it, that is one of the preconditions that the formally elected political leaders across the country agree. So we do have to have that. I don't doubt that the Prime Minister thinks that this project that he set himself from his position as Prime Minister, I don't doubt that he thinks that's important, but I do think that there's a lot of learning that needs to take place right across the country, from the ground up, from the top down. No one is going to be immune from an opportunity to lead in this process. And I think that the great number of Australians who've joined the Recognise movement already give us an opportunity to indicate, not just to the Prime Minister, but all of our politicians, all of the people that are in seats of responsibility, where they make decisions on our behalf, come to know that most Australians are impatient about this change. Most Australians don't want to see an ongoing separation between the First Peoples and other Australians in this country, and there's a number of things that still need to be addressed. The fact that our constitution still allows for racial discrimination to exist is not something that our country should tolerate, and we're very confident from our experience so far that most Australians agree with that.
Mm. Mark, I think, well, first up, is this just a white thing? I mean, is the initiative, the raising of it by, I think it was Howard back in 1999, I think, first raised this the proposal for this constitutional recognition. I could be mm-hmm. wrong, but is it a white thing? I mean, me personally, it's a white thing. It's to appease white conscience. It's a symbolic thing. It appears to be all symbolism. I don't think the degree of racism is going to change. But where do you see it? Is it a white thing? Do you see it as a white thing? Is the initiative, is it being driven somewhat by First Nations people? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, if this is an Australian thing, I want to acknowledge your point about not seeing yourself as an Australian, but seeing yourself as First Nations. I think the challenge for us is to see how do we incorporate the ways that we've got our own different views on how to keep our community's culture of our peoples alive and even thriving in this land. The Constitution, as it was written up back at the turn of last century, that constitution wasn't written by our peoples, and so what it did was to create an idea of Australia that has been built on our land, and that I now live in that thing of Australia as a First Nations person. But this is the country, that this is the construct that's been built on my land. It is an Australian thing, and my participation, my understanding, my relationship to this nation that's here on my land means that I want that to be recognised. I want the construct that's been built on here to recognise that this is our, you know, that our peoples are here, our peoples were here first. Now, that's why it is an Australian thing more than it's a white thing around this is white fellas want to just appease their guilt. I think that as Australians, we want to be able to make progress in this conversation about how we relate to each other. We want to see an opportunity where we feel like we've moved through something. And this guy gives us a great opportunity to say, look, we've set something right that we kind of partly did in 1967, and now we're going even further as part of how we tidy up, clean up, and modernise and refresh our constitution. So I wouldn't see it so much as a white thing. I'd see it as an Australian thing. This speaks to the soul of the nation. But yeah, remember that most Australians, most Aussies, see this constitution as far away from them, but it is at the core of the legal document that holds the whole thing together. So I think, you know, this is a real opportunity for us to say, look, here's something that we've set right, and we can begin to move through this now into the next chapter of getting all the other stuff continue to work better and continue to on the pathway of working right.
Tanya, I think you made some reference to racism. Do you think if this if it gets up in the referendum, if the constitution's able to be amended, do you think there's going to be any real acknowledgement or recognition of the racism, the endemic institutionalised racism, the basic blatant racism in the everyday Australian? Is it going to make any difference to that?
Well, that's a very hard question to answer. I mean, I certainly wouldn't be trying to guarantee that this will affect that, because as I'm sure you would have observed, that for people who do exhibit racist behaviour, who support, you know, some of those most racist elements in some of our systems, aren't, you know, usually very open to having those conversations. But I do think that raising the consciousness of this issue through this process, where every voting age Australian will have a chance to go and vote on this, will actually at least create a situation where people have had to stop and think about that, and think about the kind of Australia that we live in, and the sort of Australia that we say that we are, and give us an opportunity to explore some of those conversations. I've always thought that racism most strongly exists when there's great silence about its existence. And I do think that a process like this enables people to have the conversation, and in fact, depending on what the actual changes are that we get to vote on, will actually require people to stop and think about it. I think that, sure, there'll be people who don't stop and think hard enough and change their attitudes, and I certainly wouldn't expect us all to be holding hands and skipping down streets together the day after. But I certainly do think that the raising of the consciousness of this issue amongst voting age Australians is a rare opportunity. It's an opportunity to fix something that has gone unattended to for too long. And I think that's an opportunity we should take and then see where our next conversation takes us. And I certainly hope that some of the you know, outstanding Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander leadership that we've always seen in this country taking on some very big issues, often at very high personal cost, will be in a position to help Australia move into a new conversation in the days following the vote. And I hope that, that vote, a successful vote, provides a better framework, because we would have got some of the fundamentals right finally in relation to some of these issues.
Go on, Mark. Tell me more.
Sorry, I just want to make a comment there on the racism as well. I agree with you, Tanya, that it's you know, it gets stronger when we're silent about it. And one of the things for me about Australia's conversation about racism is that we don't like to have it. And the, you know, people say, is Australia a racist country? You know, there's racism here, and your listeners would know that. You know, there's racism that happens to our communities and to other groups here in Australia. But this vote is an opportunity for us to also highlight the flip side to that, is that there's, you know, countless numbers of Australians who show the very opposite of that racist behaviour, who show a welcoming and a solidarity and a willingness to experience the recognition of the first peoples of this land. They want that connection with the identity of First Nations people to enhance their identity as an Australian citizen. They might be white fellas, they might be from other countries, and, you know, have called this place home, and they want to be able to say, my relationship with the First Peoples now is more clear to me, and I respect those First Peoples, and I respect that I'm here on their land, and as an Australian, I want to be able to say that. And this referendum, this campaign, is an opportunity for them to raise their hand instead of going, oh, you know, I want to be able to do something against the racism that I see happening around me. I don't know how to express that. And I think this referendum gives us a chance to to demonstrate that, to allow those people to stand up and be counted for that.
Tanya, the Sorry by Rudd a few years back was largely a symbolic gesture. I'm not sure that it's made any real changes. It was a monumental step for any politician in this country to do, and he has to be congratulated for that. But he's been criticised because it doesn't go far enough. Saying sorry is all well and good, first step. Where's the follow-up? Symbolic gesture, yes. This to have the Constitution amended to recognise First Nations people, is it a similar thing, largely symbolic, and is a first step? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think the recognition in and of itself is, as you say, quite rightly symbolic. But my expectation would be that this constitutional change will do more than that, particularly if it, does deal with those elements in the constitution that still allow for racial discrimination. And certainly it's still on the table that there could actually be an additional protection against racial discrimination built into the document. So, you know, that process will take its course, and I'm not in charge of that. But certainly Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who've been consulted on this issue consistently made it very, very clear that a symbolic change alone would not win their support. I think there's very few people who would be happy for that in and of itself. That's the first thing. I think it's an opportunity to do more than just symbolism. But certainly I think symbolism does count for things. I was fortunate enough to be in the Parliament the day of that apology, and I was mindful of work I'd done years and years ago when I was a social work student at the Human Rights Commission, quite soon after the Bring Them Home report had been released, and having spoken to quite a considerable number of Aboriginal people in particular who'd lobbied hard for the consideration of an apology. There are a lot of people who worked, for decades on trying to bring about that moment, and I don't think they would have done that if they thought that was meaningless. And I think that, we can be quick to dismiss symbols in and of themselves alone, but I think there's a lot of us that hold symbolism very dear. But I think in this context, changing the constitution is a massive task, and I think most Australians are going to want to see some substantial change in that. I think there's a lot of people who question the reasons for doing this if we're only going to seek symbolic change. So I don't know where it's going to fall out at the moment in the process of what the actual changes will be, but what I am clear on is that there's a great many Indigenous and actually non-Indigenous Australians who feel very strongly that they want to see some of these things addressed for the country, for here on in, and symbolism alone, I think, would not represent the kind of model that would be able to win popular support right across the country.
Tiger, can I just add to that? Because I agree with Tanya. I've got a slightly different take on the idea that this remains largely symbolic. There was a sentiment, that we picked up in the journey to recognition as this campaign has travelled through country towns and regional centres around Australia, and that is one of a very practical, pragmatic sense, where ordinary Australians have said, really? This is, you mob aren't recognised? And really, we've got racial discrimination? Oh, let's just clean it up and get it and move on. There's almost a practical sense in which Australians are wanting to see the Constitution recognise our peoples, and then remove the racial discrimination. Let's move on. And it's almost a sentiment that's out there that's just crying out for the very practical sense of it. And, it doesn't need fanfare necessarily. It just needs to be sorted, and let's keep moving and get on with the other work that is also out there that we need to look at and need to focus on.
Now, there's a gathering here in Brisbane this Friday, I believe. Tell us about it, where people can come along, that you guys are hosting.
You know, the journey to recognition has been moving around the country since May last year. It was launched in Melbourne at the Dreamtime at the G Match, and the journey has moved through Victoria, South Australia, Western Australia, and the Northern Territory, and has been coming through Queensland the last couple of months. And it comes to Brisbane at the end of this week. There'll be a few events around the Gold Coast and the Brisbane area during the latter part of this week. One of them will be at the Logan Library on Wednesday, the 26th, at 1 till 3. But the main event that you alluded to there is on Friday, the 28th, and that's at the Courier Mail Piazza at South Bank there, and that's from 5:30 until 8 p.m.
Now, it's an open invitation, is it, to people, black fella, white fella, or all kind?
All kind. We want as many people as you like to come in and to hear more about recognising what the campaign is seeking to achieve. It's an opportunity for people to hear from a couple of key voices to be able to talk about why it's important, why people feel it's important for them to stand up in solidarity, but also for people like Jackie Huggins to also outline why she feels it's important for our people. And people can ask some questions, we can have a conversation and also be entertained, and I think there's going to be some food around as well. So it should be a great opportunity for us to, as a community, come and say, well, look, what's behind this R? You know, you talked about it at the very beginning of our conversation here. So we heard about this R, and so what's it all about, you know? I bumped into a young fella on his in Bundaberg, young fella, 21-year-old, and he saw the R on our T-shirt, and he goes, yeah, I heard about you fellas, and what he's doing is deadly. And it's almost like, well, how do we get to the next stage? How do you get more information? How do you know what's going on? And coming in to hear about it on Friday night is a really good way to find out more.
Tanya, how do you respond to, and you probably had it before, you've got somebody in the group, in the gathering, that says, well, what about a treaty? What about the options? Is there any room on the agenda for discussion about options, or are we only going to hear about the constitutional change?
Yeah, we do hear that all the time, and you know, at Recognise, we're acutely aware that this is a long-held aspiration. In fact, I think there's, you know, quite a number of our support base, me included, who believe in constitutional recognition and believe in treaty, and so we don't suggest that people have to choose one over the other. As you said, the job of convincing most of the country to agree with some fundamental changes to our constitution is a big one, and so that's the one job that we're focused on. We don't really have the ability to run two processes at once, and the reality is a treaty wouldn't be achieved through a constitutional change in any case. But we certainly acknowledge and respect that a lot of people hold that views about other aspirations very strongly. We certainly don't expect that people are going to, you know, put those aspirations aside just because we're doing this. We recognise that this is one conversation, not the only conversation. And while we've got the opportunity to try and create this sort of a national movement to help update our constitution, we're going to give it the best that we have, and we're going to focus really hard on it. But we certainly don't want people to think that we don't see legitimacy in other national conversations, but we're pretty clear that we only have capacity to pursue one.
Look, thanks for that.
A lot of conversations.
I've got news bearing down on me quickly. Thank you very much for your time with us today. Good luck
with
it.
Thank you. Thanks, Tiger. Cheers.
Thanks, Tiger.